There you go. Beauty has many meanings. See, this is poetry, yeah? We know this. It's not meant to be read literally, particularly a passage like this one. What would the woman look like if it was read literally? This is what I found. Her hair like goats, doves in the eyes, a sheep in her teeth, honey dripping out, a pomegranate on her side of her head, a neck like a strong tower. Not very beautiful, right? So I think we need to sometimes, well, often when we're reading poetry, we need to look deeper into the meaning. We need to try and figure out what's going on here. What is the man actually talking about when he's describing her like this? And this is what the pros think he's talking about. Of course, it's always very difficult going back thousands of years and trying to figure out what they meant by their poetry. But this is what we think is going on. Eyes like doves, maybe affection and faithfulness to their mates. Hair, goats being black, she had long black flowing hair running down a beautiful mountain. Her teeth like sheep just shorn, probably meant they were very white. And I love in the next bit after that, he says, each has its twin, not one of them is alone, meaning that she probably has all her teeth. She doesn't have missing bits in her mouth, which is amazing at this time. Her lips being scarlet red, it's pretty self-explanatory. Her temples having like these pomegranates, probably talking about her skin complexion being a reddish orange. I don't know what sort of makeup they would have been putting on for the wedding day. Her neck, Tower of David, probably meaning she's a strong woman, that she has dignity. And the shields hung around her neck, probably a necklace. Her breasts being described as fawns. Fawns are young deers. This could be that he's commenting on her youth, that she's young of age, which would fit the culture. And listen, I don't want to take away from how important physical attraction is in a relationship. We all know that, right? This poem is describing how a man feels about the beauty of his wife, this woman that he loves. And in fact, this whole chapter and this whole book is a book that celebrates this, that celebrates beauty in this way. But we also know that there's deeper meanings to beauty, right? It's not just about what people look like. Another reading of this book, which Christine's pointed out at some stage in the last couple of weeks, and that some of you might actually feel, not more comfortable, but feel that it's more accurate, is that this whole book's meaning is about Christ and the church, that it's a love letter between Jesus and his body. And that's perfectly found if that's where you go. But the point is that there are deeper meanings going on here. So my question, this is first question for us. Well, pre-questions. What does this deeper meaning, I guess, look like for us today? Specifically in our culture. Because we still do live in a culture, don't we, in which physical beauty has a lot of power. And is raised up above other forms of beauty. How is beauty more than just that one dimension? So here we go. This is our first question. Is this working, Jess? Yes? Yeah, it's on. Okay. Jess, the tech lady. Here's our first question, just in groups of three or four, and we will, if you feel comfortable, we will come back and discuss this all together because I want to draw this out a little bit. Here's our questions. What is beauty? What is beauty? And as Christians, how do we celebrate the deeper things of beauty in our life? Does that make sense? Okay, go for it.
Yeah. costumes, I think either were really uncomfortable with you. Like, for instance, like, hated, like, artwork and the striptease, or where's just the word, and really uncomfortable in your body. But then we always say we find God in creation. And there's lots of churches now where there's, like, the like, some of the bigger churches, like, but you have to wear makeup or look a certain way because it's attraction. We like seeing beautiful people at the front. But I think we've been uncomfortable. Like, we appreciate beauty outdoors, but then it's also like, how much money can we spend on beauty? Because we talk extravagance. Because beauty feels like a waste sometimes. So I think that's the point, that it is a waste. But that's a good thing.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sure we could continue, but I want to hear what you have to say. So where did we get to? What is beauty, church? Brian says it's IT programs he's created. No, like, are you being serious? Yeah, no, I want to hear about that. I agree. What do you mean? What did Brian mean, Naomi?
I would say that beauty might be
Yeah. Do you want to say any more, Brian? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't think about that. What is beauty? Okay. Programs. Based on nature. Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Paul. Yep. Beck. Lani. Is that 1 Peter? It's in my sermon. Thanks, Lani. Okay, so what about the second question? As Christians, how do we celebrate the deeper things of beauty? I was talking to Christine. She's reading a book at the moment, which a guy talking about the early church and how brutal the Roman world was and how beautiful he... It sounds like he's almost falling back in love with faith again because he saw what the early church did and how they cared for the poor and that the gospel is beautiful. Like, and how Christians can live and imitate Christ is a thing of beauty. So what about you guys? Where do we get to? How do we celebrate the deeper things of beauty? Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yeah, again, I was speaking to Christine. She's so wise. And as Protestants, like, we got rid of art and we got rid of all these beautiful things and we dressed a certain way, and it's almost like we're still wrestling against that and coming out of that. Yeah, yeah. Anything else? and stuff. Okay, one last thing I want to touch on, and we'll have a little discussion about this as well. In verses 6 to 8, we see the man searching through the night, through the shadows and the dangers that it brings, to try and find his love, his beauty, his woman. And then he finds her, and he declares how beautiful you are, in verse 7. And then in verse 8, he asks her to come with him down the mountain, away from the lion's den and the dangers that might hurt her, so that he can protect her, so that he can be with her and she can be safe. Beauty requires protection. And I was thinking about, well, what is beauty? Biblically, where do we get beauty from? And I got two things, and I'm sure there's many more things. And the two things I got are very self-explanatory. I think creation, right, is in biblically, creation is beautiful. Jesus talks about the birds in the air and the flowers in the field and things like this. And we know the creation story in Genesis, that God created these beautiful things and it was good. And I guess the other thing biblically for me that is beautiful is us. And obviously we are part of his creation, but it is us, that we are created in his image, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then, yeah, I had that 1 Peter verse that Lani read, which was beautiful, talking about, well, your beauty shouldn't come from outward things like braided hair and wearing gold jewelry and things like this, but instead it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That is beautiful in God's sight. I love that. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So these things need to be protected. And as the church, I think we need to do our best at protecting these. And so that's my last question for us this morning is, how do we protect beauty? How, as followers of Jesus, all these things that we just talked about, from IT programs to creation to people's stories, all these things, how do we protect them, hold them valuable, see them, that they have a place in life? Yeah? Go for it. Okay. How'd we go? Did you agree with the premise that beauty needs to be protected? You can disagree with me if you want. If so, how? How do we protect beauty in all its multifacets? Stewardship of the earth, yep. Yeah. More powerful together, working collectively. I can hear you, Annie. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's so good. Did everyone hear that? Just about. I'm not going to do it justice. Yeah. Just that verse on Peter about having a quiet and gentle spirit and how sometimes we can have maybe a gentle spirit but not be quiet and vice versa and how that reflects beauty and things. Vicky, did that hit something with you? I saw you. You're such a Christian. Yeah. Did you get anywhere on how to cultivate beauty? Yeah. Not yet. Okay. Yeah, Dave. Yeah, right. Sorry, youth? Youth. Young people. Yeah, youth. Yeah, yeah. I'm still youth. Yeah.
Therefore, the way to protect what is beautiful, that is that which glorifies God, ennobles things, is to approach all the beautiful
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, she did. Yeah. So good, Heidi. Yeah, Amory. Yeah. Mm, yeah. Okay. Annie, yeah. Encouragement of each other, yeah. Wow, thanks, Josh. That was awesome. I let me finish with this and then I'll pray for us and we'll sing again. We got a dog, as you all know, if you've heard me speak recently. And he's been awesome, and tough work. But part of the journey with the dog is when they're puppies is getting up at night and taking them out so they don't poo all over your floor. And so I've had a lot of time recently sitting outside on my back steps at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I live on Warringah Road and it's silent. And just being able to like look up at the stars and be present in God's creation. And I had quite a profound spiritual experience last week doing this. I was sitting down and we have one tree in our backyard that sort of shades the whole garden and comes over the sort of playground area and stuff. And I wasn't, you know how God works, like he always hits you when you're least expecting it. And I was sort of just sitting there and I was just looking at this tree, and then all of a sudden, this is going to sound so hippie and weird, but all of a sudden I sort of saw the tree for what it is. I saw its roots going deep into the dirt and soil, and I saw life running through it, and I saw its leaves blossoming, and I just saw it as a tree serving its purpose and for its beauty, for what it is. And it was really amazing. And I guess maybe just this week, I just want to leave you with that beauty is all around us. And sometimes I think we're either in so much of a rush or we are focused on other things that we may miss it, either in each other or in creation around us, or in many things that we've talked about tonight, today. So can I just encourage you, I'm going to pray for us, let's just take a moment this week sometime to notice beauty, yeah? To notice beauty in our life. Trust me, I've had a shocking year, but I can still notice beauty. It's still around. Can I pray? Let's do that. Thanks. God, you created and you said it was good. The world around us is good and beautiful. Each of us sitting here is good and beautiful. And so, Father, this week as we go out from church, may we notice your beauty more. May we slow down. As Peter says, may we be quiet and gentle with our spirit. Give ourselves permission to stop and to see the beauty in this life. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, Lord, whatever storm is brewing in our life, the mess, pressures, fears, doubts, shames, whatever is going on for us, God, may we be reminded of your heart for us, your love for us, and the beauty that we are so surrounded with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you create and that you love beauty and that you love us. We bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.